Hello everyone, welcome to the 14th episode of South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies in Singapore. This week, we have with us Dr. Ranjoy Sen, Senior Research Fellow at ISAS. Welcome, Ranjoy, once again.
Thank you for having me.
So this week, we talk about the biggest news coming out of South Asia, and that is the Indian government's move to revoke the special status given to Jammu and Kashmir by amending Article 370. By now, there's already been a lot of coverage of what has happened and how the government saw through the process, so let's not get into that. Roger, instead, it seemed that the action received bipartisan support in Delhi. Why do you think this is so, and is it then only a BJP-driven agenda, as some are speculating?
Well, the scrapping of Article 370 and the special status to Kashmir was one part of BJP's both ideological and political agenda. It's been there in all their election manifestos for the last few decades. So in that sense, this was a policy that the BJP really wanted to push through. Mm-hmm. But what has come out over the last couple of days, both in parliament and outside, is that many political parties have come out in support of the BJP's moves. So regional parties such as the Aam Aadmi Party, the Bahujan Samaj Party, the Biju Janata Dal from Orissa, have all come out and voiced the support for the dilution or scrapping of Article 370. In fact, even within the Congress, which of course in Parliament argued against this measure and even voted against it, even within the Congress, there seems to be a rift with many of the younger MPs or past MPs, in fact, voicing the support for the BJP's move. So in that sense, it seems that outside of Kashmir, there seems to be a reasonable amount of bipartisan support mm-hmm. for the government's move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's exactly leading me to my next question, which is in Kashmir itself. Now, one of the main things the government will have to do is to calm things down in Kashmir. What do you think are some immediate strategies they may consider for the near term?
Right. Prime Minister Modi has spoken about the need not to be triumphalist mm-hmm. And that a lot of work needs to be done to gain the support of Kashmiris, particularly ordinary Kashmiris, in this move. Of course, this is not just the scrapping of the provisions of the special status of Kashmir. What we have now is also a bifurcation yep. of the former state of Jammu and Kashmir into two union territories. Again, this brings with it a new set of dynamics. So the Prime Minister and I think the government is well aware that the people of Kashmir need to be convinced. Of course, this is going to be an uphill task because, of course, as we've seen for the last few days, Kashmir has been in a lockdown mode, a heavy presence of troops, mm-hmm. a curfew-like situation, communication networks cut off. And of course, Kashmir is no stranger to these things. Ever since the 90s, Kashmir has gone through bouts of these phases.
Yep.
And so the ordinary Kashmiri, and especially the younger generation, there's a little doubt resentful of the situation there and of the Indian state. So I think a lot of work needs to be done to convince them, the ordinary Kashmiris, of the measures that have been taken and that this is something that's going to benefit Kashmiris and not going to go against them. So we did see some preliminary steps like yesterday, the National Security Advisor, Mr. Ajit Doval, there were televised images of him being in the streets of Srinagar, interacting with ordinary Kashmiris, etc. But I think these are just sort of initial preliminary steps. I think the government has to really chart out a path which has to look and go beyond just providing a heavy security blanket over Kashmir. I think it really needs to chart out a course to convince and bring the ordinary Kashmiris, bring them around to this new idea.
Absolutely. I think perhaps the other area that the government needs a clear strategy now is in the international arena. So yesterday, Pakistan has already taken quite strong action by suspending trade ties, downgrading diplomatic ties, and even sending back the Indian ambassador. What strategies can India take in the international arena, and especially with respect to Pakistan in this regard?
Right. I think predictably, you know, Pakistan has protested the loudest with regard to scrapping of the special status to Kashmir. You rightly mentioned the Prime Minister Imran Khan did give a speech in the Pakistani parliament, and then it has been followed by the measures that you mentioned, downgrading of ties. In fact, bilateral trade has been suspended, which is not a considerable sum, but it still works out to something like $2 billion. In fact, some would argue that the breaking of bilateral trade will hurt Pakistan more than it would India. So India, I think, will respond. Of course, Pakistan will also has promised to take it to the UN Security Council, because technically Kashmir is still a disputed territory. India, I assume, will be has already started working diplomatic channels, and I think if the issue does come up before the UNSC, India will be fairly confident that there will be vetoes from, you know, at least one or more of the P5 members. So I think India is working the diplomatic channels. Mm-hmm. Of course, those details are not out in the public realm yet. But one significant aspect is that besides Pakistan and China, who are of course both have a stake in Kashmir, none of the other P5 members have come out either in condemnation or saying anything significant.
Absolutely. Surprisingly,
this
Trump administration is rather quiet.
Has been quiet. So in that sense, one I think, you know, gets the feeling that India probably, you know, has kept the major powers informed, and none of them are going to make any commitment right away, unless, you know, there is sort of future instances of human rights abuse or repression. I think as of now, India seems to have managed the international diplomatic community quite well, except, as I said, for Pakistan and to some extent China.
Yeah, or perhaps it's just really perfect timing as well, since much of the world is now focused on Hong Kong and the China-US trade war.
Yeah.
But you're right, Ranjoy. I think there's much to be watched in this space over the next few weeks and months, both from a domestic perspective as well as what happens in Kashmir and in the international arena. And here at ISAS, we're actually putting out a series of papers looking at multiple perspectives on this issue. And as you have pointed out before, there are many stakeholders involved in this issue. So do tune in to our papers as well on our websites. Look out for them. And join us again soon for our next episode of South Asia Chat. Till then, thank you and have a great week ahead.
Thank you.